Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I'm Larry Moore, Director of Music Ministries. We're so glad that you're here this morning. Would you please stand and greet each other in the name of Christ? As you return to your seats, would you please join in the hymn of preparation as found in your bulletin? I'm glad that you're in a singing mood this morning because we have two new pieces of service music that we will be using during the season of Lent. And the choir is up here this morning to help you learn them during this period of time so that they will be a little bit more natural to you when you come to them during the service. Would you please open your bulletin to page 3? As part of our time of prayer, we will be using this song of approach. It is a fairly familiar tune from the Taizé community of Taizé, France. It is called, O Lord, Hear My Prayer. You will hear it played through completely one time on the organ, and then we will sing it twice. Please join us in rehearsing this piece. The other new piece of service music that we will be using is a different doxology. We will be using this for the period of Lent, the season of Lent. This is found on page 5. The title is God Whose Giving Knows No Ending. The tune is Nettleton, which we use for the familiar hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Please practice that with us. Thank you very much. With those preparations complete, I now ask you to center your hearts and mind and prepare for worship as our acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Look for signs of the covenant that God makes with us and our children to endless generations.
Christ our Lord was tempted in the wilderness and knows all our trouble and weakness. We therefore have courage to confess our failings and our sins, knowing that the God of Jesus Christ will hear and forgive us. Please join in the song of approach, followed by the unison prayer of confession.
Let us pray together the prayer of confession. We confess, God of mercy, we confess that we too often satisfy our desires before we think of others. We take needless risks that endanger ourselves and those around us. We look for power in the wrong places and fail to let your rule in our lives. Help us to turn away from all that keeps us from worshiping you alone. Amen. Jesus dismissed the tempter and walked from the wilderness to the glory of the cross. Let us rejoice this day in Jesus' glorious victory through his death and resurrection. In Jesus' name, we are forgiven. You may be seated.
We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit.
All this is God's gift offered to us without price.
Reverend Martin and congregation, I present William Holden Styron for baptism.
Brooke and Jared, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual force of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Brooke and Jared, will you nurture Holden in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? To the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Holden now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround him with the community of love and forgiveness, that may be the world in his trust of God and be found faithful in service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and they who receive it, to wash away their sin, clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. Brooke and Jared, what is the name given to this child? William Holden Siren, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your newest member. When the world says, no, you can't, you will say, yes, you can. When the world says, you're not smart enough, you will say, yes, you are. When the world says, you can't do that, you're going to say, yes, you can. When the world says, you're not handsome enough, you're going to say, yes, you are. When the world says, you're not loved, you're going to say, Jesus loves you. Amen. We love you. Amen. When the world says you don't have a place, we're going to say, yes, you do. You have a home with us. When the world says we don't care, you're going to say, yes, we do. We love you. We'll care for you. We'll take you. When the world says you don't belong, yes, you do. You belong to us and you belong to God. Amen? This is God's child. This is our child. To nurture and to raise and to love and to care for. Choir, I don't mean to overlook you. When the world says you can't sing. Yes, you can. When it says you can't carry a tune in a bucket. Say, yes, you can. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, he is incorporated by the Holy Spirit. Members of the household of God, I commit Holden to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Take this child and raise it in Christian home and love. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from the 9th chapter of Genesis, verses 8 through 17. Listen now for the reading from God's Word. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The gospel lesson for today comes from the gospel according to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Have mercy on us, O God.
According to your unfailing love.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry.
The tempter came to him and said,
"If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread."
Jesus answered, "It is written,
man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple.
"If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone."
Jesus answered him, "It is also written,
do not put the Lord your God to the test."
Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor.
All of this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me.
Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written,
worship the Lord your God and serve him only."
Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him.
Christ alone has conquered the power of evil.
In the epistle to the Romans, Paul says, "Where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness, to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
In his strength we are saved.
Create in us a pure heart, O God.
And renew a steadfast spirit within us.
Do not cast us from your presence.
Take your Holy Spirit from us.
Restore to us the joy of your salvation.
And grant us the Holy Spirit to sustain
us. We'd like to make mention that Walter Roark is in the rehab hospital, and also this morning Barbara Sheely came to me and said her doctor has pronounced that she is cancer free. And we would remember Mr. and Mrs. Scheibel, who have been recouping at home for a few weeks. We'd like to remember them in their prayers, and the others that we know of that are sick, and those listening by means of radio today, we pray for God's grace and love to be with them. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, we realize that you came into the world not to serve, but to be of service. Not to be served, but to be of service. We acknowledge this day the temptations that you encountered, the affirmation that your Heavenly Father gave to you. And we too now start our days of journeying. We're journeying now in the season of Lent, a time that calls for us to reflect upon ourselves, upon those wilderness experiences, those things that beset us, and a fresh calling for renewed consecration of ourselves as disciples of Christ to embrace the cross, to experience renewed life and resurrection. Dear God, we pray for each one of us during this journey, that for ourselves and for our church, that this will be a time of holy renewal, a time of holy sacrifice and consecration, a time of renewed hope and resurrection. Holy God, we pray for these whose names have been mentioned and those that we mentioned within our hearts. Those who are sick and suffering, those who are away from home and lonely, and those who are lost, who are lost in this world of ours without hope and without a Savior. May they realize that they indeed do have a Savior. And may they experience the love of God as they become a part of the fellowship of the church, not of some denomination, but of the body of Christ, who nurtures and loves and cares. Be with our leaders, both our bishops and district superintendents, our president and our congresspersons, as they lead us and lead the church. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Let us continue to worship God with our morning tithing offerings. Ushers, would you come?
Let us pray. Holy God, as we give these gifts to your kingdom, may we give ourselves also to your will, to be led and directed and used for whatever the need is, both monetarily and of ourselves. Bless giver and gift, those who have not, those who chose not to give this day. It is to you we give all things. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. How is everybody? Good? I want to play a quick game, really quick. Y'all know how to play Simon Says? We're going to play Jessica Says. Is that okay? All right. So, you know how to play. Jessica says, clap your hands. Jessica says, snap your fingers if you can snap your fingers. Jessica says, stomp your feet. Jessica says, pinch your nose. Pinch your ears. I think some of you are out on that one. I didn't say Jessica says, right? Jessica says, stop pinching your nose. You're welcome. All right, quick. That was just a quick game. You'll see why we did that in just a minute. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. And when I say Lent, I don't mean when you dig deep into your pockets and you get a big ball of fuzz. That's not what I mean when I say Lent. What does anybody know what Lent is? Cecilia, what's Lent?
It's like a time when you can give up something or do something more.
Yeah, it's a time where we're drawing closer to God. We can give up something. Lent lasts 40 days until Easter, and that doesn't include Sundays. So some people say you can cheat on Sundays, but you can be really awesome and not cheat on Sundays. Just saying. or what? You like to cheat on Sundays? Yeah. When I've given up chocolate for Lent before, I couldn't wait until Sundays. But it's good to challenge yourself. What? Well, it's not really cheating. It just Sundays don't count. in the 40 days, which represents Jesus being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. Or, you know, some people give up something, but some people take on something. Whether that's keeping a prayer journal, or they'll take on exercising more during the week, or drinking more water. But I want us to think about, last weekend I took the youth to a retreat in Asheville, and our theme for the weekend was imitate. Do you know what the word imitate means? What does it mean?
Like to copy someone.
To copy someone, yeah. When we played Jessica Says, were you copying what I did? But then I was tempting you to do something else, right? Because I didn't say Jessica Says. Right? That's what Lent is about. I think it's important for us to imitate what we learned, what the youth learned last weekend on our retreat, to imitate Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be imitators of Christ. And what are some things that we can do to imitate Christ, to copy the things that Jesus does? And I brought some of our youth down here to kind of recall. I put them on the spot really quick. So can you recall something from last weekend that we talked about imitating Christ? Come on.
Loving others.
Perfect example. Loving others. Yeah. During Lent, it would be awesome if you could imitate Christ and love others. That means be really nice to your brother and sister or to your friends at school, even the person that you really don't like in your class. That would be a good challenge for Lent, don't you think? To love the person that you don't really like very much. But nothing is impossible. But if we have Christ with us, then it's not impossible, right? It's not impossible with Christ. Like if... Okay. That was a lousy building. So I want to challenge you, just like our youth were challenged last week, and especially during this time of Lent. This is a time where we draw close to God. So I want to challenge you to imitate Christ. Find ways to imitate Christ. Find out what that means, what it means to imitate Christ. Love others. That's one great example. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to imitate you, even though it's really hard, in order for us to draw close to you. Amen.
Be seated. I used to enjoy those made-for-TV programs called On the Road with Charles Kuralt. Going in those out-of-way places like Bethlehem, Georgia. Those places that the interstate just doesn't quite reach. Linda and I often talk about that day when we'll have an opportunity to just ride and go, and we say, we're going to do Americana. We're going to avoid the interstates, and we're just going to ride. Of course, you have to deal with those little town cops. But anyway, Lent is an affirmation to me of the journey. Journey of faith, a time to think about where we have been and what we would like to accomplish in our spiritual journey of faith, a time to think about our church and our direction. I wonder about Jesus during these days because we don't know a whole lot about what happened to Christ after the temple encounter at the age of 12 till now. We don't have a star that was, or angels singing, or those things that caused Jesus to know that it was time. I speculate that maybe he was journeying from Nazareth to Jerusalem and he made that turn to go toward the Jordan River. I wonder if it was a time of dedication for him. Was it a time maybe of family reunion to go visit his cousin John the Baptist out in the wilderness? Maybe he had heard some of the things that were taking place. But he goes and he steps into the water to be baptized. You know the story, John saying, "I'm not worthy." Jesus is baptized. And either the crowd there heard the statement or it was a private encounter with Jesus. We don't really know. But Jesus heard those words. "You're my son. My beloved. And with you, I'm well pleased." Boy, I remember those days as a young boy with my dad, wherever it happened to be. I can remember him being some of the most unusual places, and he would slip his arm around me and he'd say, "Son, I'm proud of you. Son, I love you." I can remember sometimes when he was saying, "Son, you shouldn't have done that," too. Maybe brought a little discipline behind it. I tell people sometimes I was abused and didn't even know it. But I did know that I was loved. And Jesus knew that he was loved. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit entered him. This is a different encounter. And the force that drove him into the wilderness was the same force that drove the demons out of the demoniac. It wasn't the type of decision that we make about giving up chocolate or sodas for Lent. This was a fiery force that pushed him out into 40 days and 40 nights of struggling. And the Bible says that he was in all ways tempted like you and me. We talk about those three temptations that was mentioned a while ago, and yet it probably was a whole lot more. I think of those days in the military when being trained to endure tough decisions. And I've heard individuals say that it was because of the tough training that they were able to endure POW camps and some of the harsh treatment that they received. I remember one POW speaking particularly, and he was always told never to turn down medical treatment no matter what. And the dentist came, and he had a tooth that needed filling, and he filled the tooth with no Novocaine or deadening agent at all. And he said, I passed out. The pain was so real, I passed out. And then he said, but I stand before you today well. I stand before you today telling you that I overcome. Sometimes we experience struggles. Struggles come our way, and they're there maybe just so we can know what it means to overcome. A woman had a weakness for beautiful clothes, and she was unable to resist the temptation to the point of outrageous, extravagant spending. And she and her husband knew they needed to work on it, and so they decided what they would do, and they thought she was doing better. And every time she was drawn to a clothing boutique or to a display in a department store window, she would say to herself, don't do it. Don't do it. Remember how much you owe. You don't need it. You've worn the last dress that you purchased only once. You owe a fortune still. Remember how your husband feels about this. Don't do it. Get behind me, Satan. And she made a successful venture of this for 6 weeks. And then she came home one day and she had a gorgeous $350 dress. Her husband was floored and he said, why? And she said, the devil got into me again. She said, I just couldn't resist. And he said, but how often have we talked about this? He moaned. It had worked for 6 weeks. For 6 weeks you've overcome by fighting back, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. And she said, this time it came too late. I thought I was strong. I thought that I was good enough. But before I knew it, I had the dress on. And looking at myself in the mirror, the dress was so gorgeous and it hung on me so well. And I fought back and I said, get behind me, Satan. And she said, before I could get out of the mirror, he said, it looks just as good from the back as it does from the front. The first Sunday of Lent is a story of affirmation. You are my beloved. And it's a time of dedication and temptation. Being forced with the wild beast for 40 days and 40 nights. Maybe some of you know about wilderness experiences in your own life. Maybe some of you know about struggles of maybe childhood neglect, adolescent abuse. Maybe some of you just know what the long, hard road is all about. You know what stamina and steadfastness is. You know what it means when the going gets tough, that the tough get going. You know about making right choices. And maybe some of you know about making wrong choices. Jesus was driven and alone. Leonard Sweet tells this story We know about this slogger, so to speak, who has been celebrated as the shot in the arm. His name is Jeremy Lin. A first generation Asian American kid. A brainiac who aced the maths SAT scores and is a Harvard econ graduate who now has suddenly burst on the forefront of the NBA professional basketball world. But Sweet says there is no suddenly in Jeremy Lin's story. Rather, it's the story of a wilderness survivor. Jeremy Lin was a great basketball player for years. He was amazing in high school. And he sent homemade videotapes of his game exploits to a slew of colleges. He was only able to garner a spot in a Division II school, Palo Alto. Finally, Lin was accepted academically and athletically to Harvard, a college not renowned for its professional athletes. Sweet says a Harvard basketball player is kind of like being a Jamaican bobsled rider. He said Lin was harassed for his lack of muscle mass and his Asian American roots. Harvard econ graduates don't usually have to suffer many hardships after obtaining their Ivy League degree. As they graduate as money managers and usually coast in a series of lucrative job offers. But Jeremy Lin wanted to play basketball. So he decided to try for the NBA instead of the MBA. No one gave him a chance. And finally he landed a 2-year deal with the Golden State Warriors and he was waived. He says that's a pro athlete speak for being dumped. Lin was picked up by the Houston Rockets and he was waived. In the midst of the NBA lockout, Lin was picked up by the New York Knicks and the Knicks put him on the bench until injuries and absences gave him and in. And suddenly he found himself not the guy sitting on the bench, but a star for the New York Knicks. Sweet says, let's be clear, there was no suddenly about this star moment. Jeremy Lin had spent decades perfecting his skills, practicing his craft, sacrificing for his advancement. He worked long hours, practiced and persevered, put up with harassment, labored at the jobs we all take to make ends meet, slept on friends' couches, and kept on going. Jeremy Lin is now being lauded as some type of amazing star hero. He is called Super Lintendo. His fans are caught up in Lin's sanity. His story is dubbed Lindarella. But in reality, Jeremy Lin is a ditch digger. He made his mark by continually working, chipping away at that which blocked his path, by getting what he wanted with what he had to do. And despite what others told him, Jeremy Lin is a wilderness survivor. The week before he became a household name, Jeremy Lin slept on the couch of his brother and a fellow teammate because he didn't have a bed to sleep on. After leading the New York Knicks to 6 straight wins and being their top scorer and showing the coolness of leadership under pressure, Jeremy Lin didn't dare go back to crash on his brother's couch, because a riot of enthusiastic friends would have swarmed the place. During the football season, there's a Christian sports enthusiast entitled Tim Tebow. the audacious quarterback, an outspoken Christian who Tebowed before and after his on-field encounters. Jeremy Lin is also a self-avowed, unabashed Christian. His humility and graciousness, his team unity messages are all marks of his genuine spirit. Tim Tebow was a star and a Christian who has always been the golden child of football. But Jeremy Lin is the one star whose time in the wilderness is well documented. Nobody ever wanted Jeremy Lin. At best, he was momentarily appreciated for his abilities. At the same time, he was being dismissed because of his academic achievements and his Asian heritage. He had gifts and graces, but he needed grit and gumption to put them into place. The wilderness is a real and raw place. The wilderness is a place of chaos and discord. The wilderness is an encounter with Satan, the enemy of us all, and the enemy of our souls. The wilderness might be a familiar place for us, but God calls us. God calls us to have grit and gumption and courage and confidence and faith, the gift of God for the people of God. Amen. Closing hymn, I want Jesus to walk with me. Let us stand. Do not live by bread alone, but by the will of God. May God give the angels charge over us. May their hands bear us up and keep us from falling.